verse to you tonight out of 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and then we'll spend all of our time in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject, the happiness of Hannah. The happiness of Hannah. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for Maranatha Baptist Church. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the good liberty that you've given us to preach in this place yesterday. But Lord, we're in a new service tonight. We ask you for that same liberty again this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, Lord, like you can. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing preacher in safely today. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless him as he would stand and preach in a little while. Be with Brother Davis as he stands here now and preaches to the young people. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Let me read verse number 1 of chapter 2 again. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." I was just reading this. I was in Kansas on Thursday and Friday, and this was part of my Bible devotions on Friday morning. And I read chapter 1 and chapter number 2, and the Lord allowed us to be able to jot down an outline that we will preach to you this evening. But when I read chapter 2 in verse number 1 on Friday morning in my own personal Bible devotions, that verse right there, it reminded me so very much of my preacher Fugit, that will preach here in just a little while. I get to travel with them. The Lord allows me to be able to travel with them all across the country, and we get to preach in good churches like this all over the country, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And then the Lord's allowed us to be able to, my wife and I, the last couple of years, to be able to work beside him and other couples there at our youth camp. And especially this summer, as we would spend time praying with one another before services, I heard him make this statement many times as he would approach the throne room of grace in prayer. And he would make this statement. He said, "Lord, I come to you with a thank you note in hand, ready to give it to you." And boy, when I read this verse there that day on Friday, it began to remind me of when preacher would just begin to take that thank you note to the Lord. He began to thank the Lord for not only answering specific prayers for his family, but answering prayers for ministries of our church. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a little while. But I began to think about the happiness of Hannah. And I want us to look at chapter number 1 and let's find out where that happiness comes from. And many of us know the story of Hannah here, but let's just be reminded again this evening. I want us to look at chapter 1, verse number 4. Let's look at chapter 1, verse number 4. Now, if I mispronounce these words, please forgive me. You don't know how to pronounce them either, amen? So anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when the time was, that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Can I say Hannah's happiness did not come without a cost. And so number one, tonight we see the ridicule of Satan. We see the ridicule of Satan. We understand the Bible talks about her adversary. Now her adversary was Peninnah, that other wife of Elkanah. We understand that God gave Peninnah a child, but he did not give Hannah a child at this time. And Peninnah was her adversary, and she would come to her year after year and remind her that that her womb was shut and that she did not have a child. The devil used this other wife of Elkanah to provoke Hannah to jealousy, to envy, and to bitterness. And I understand it was an individual that the Lord calls her adversary, but may we all be reminded, we all have all the same common enemy, and it's none other than Slewfoot himself, Satan. And the devil will use another person at time who has maybe what you want and is what you desire to be, but he is the adversary that's a roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour. He always is working to bring doubt and to bring discouragement and to bring despondency. My dear friend, may we all be reminded tonight on this Monday night revival service, and I understand that I'm preaching to the choir, but the choir needs preaching every now and then. My dear friend, there's not a day that your adversary or my adversary takes off, and so that's why it's very important that you and I, as a blood-bought child of God, we must walk with the Lord every single day, because mark it down, the day that you and I, as fleshly men and women, take off from walking with God, there's not a day where the world, the flesh, and the devil try to knock us off kilter and bring temptation in our life. So her happiness did not come without a cost. We see the ridicule of Satan. Now look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Not only do we see the ridicule of Satan, but now we see the reason for her sorrow. She was bitter in her heart and her soul because she wanted a child so much. We'll find out here in just a little bit as we read the scripture that her request that she gave to the Lord was not a selfish request. She wanted a man child that she may give back to the Lord. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But now we see the reason for her sorrow. My dear friend, you might be here tonight and say, Brother Dallas, I've been saved for such and such length of time, and I've never gone through a sorrowful time. I've never gone through a difficult time. I've never had troubles in the Christian life. My dear friend, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but you just hang on, my dear friend, because difficult times will come. Hard times of life will come. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say that just because you and I are a child of God that we're going to tiptoe through the tulips the rest of the days of our life. I don't know if I could tiptoe anyway, amen. But anyhow, my dear friend, we will go through difficult times. And the question is not, will I go through difficult times? The question is, what will I do when I go through the difficult times of life? I do know this, it's not time to quit, it's not time to give up, it's not time to throw in the towel, it's time to put our pegs down and say, I'm still going to live for God, I'm still going to serve God, I'm still going forward for God, even though I've got the difficult times of life. Now let's look at verse number 11. Not only do we see the ridicule of Satan, we see the reason for sorrow. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. First of all, we see the ridicule of Satan. Number two, we see the reason for her sorrow. But then number three, we find the request of the saint. Amen. You understand, she couldn't find an earthly person that she could share her burden with. All that she knew to do was go to the Lord and cast those burdens upon the Lord. And my dear friend, find out what it is to spend time in that prayer closet with the Lord. Can I say, my dear friend, yes, we will go through difficult times and sorrowful times, and I'm thankful that God gives us pastors. I'm thankful that God gives us good godly friends. But my friend, there's times when they want to bring comfort to you that earthly man cannot bring comfort to you like the great comforter himself, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. Turn our Bibles very quickly, and let's turn to Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to come back to 1 Samuel here in just a moment, but I want us to look, and let's talk about this prayer closet for just a minute over in Matthew chapter number 6. Let's look at it. My dear friend, it's your pastor's responsibility to pray for you and your family. But my dear friend, yes, he will pray for you, but God wants to hear our prayers as well, amen. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And that's my favorite verse in the entire Bible on the matter of prayer. And I love verse number 6. And perhaps we brought out the illustration that when God here before, when God says enter in thy closet, he's not talking about a place where clothes are hanging from the top to the bottom. He's just talking about a designated place with him each and every day. I don't know where your designated place is. My place changes every single week of my life as I travel the country, but I'm glad I serve a God that's not limited to space or location, my dear friend. I serve an omnipresent God, and I can meet with them in the motel room this week in Tennessee, and I'll meet with them in the room next week in Arkansas, my dear friend. He just says, "I want you to have a designated place with me each and every day." And then when God says, "And shut thy door behind thee," in today's vernacular, he means shut the cell phones off, shut the computers off, shut every other form of communication off, and just you and I spend time with one another in this prayer closet. As we preached about our burden for America yesterday in Sunday school, my dear friend, I can't help but think about a statement that a preacher made to me about 15 years ago, he made this statement. He said, "Brother Chris," he said, "maybe the reason that all the wickedness is coming out of its closets in America is because God's people have forgotten about their closet." And can I say, as we're talking about burdens tonight, my dear friend, about Hannah's burden, I can't help but be burdened for the United States of America as it's going down a fast track and down the slippery road to a place called hell tonight, my dear friend. And some of us need to find that place of a prayer closet so the wickedness will go back to its closets. Amen. But I want us to look at it tonight. Look at it very quickly. It says, he says this, "But thou, when thou prayest," can I say this prayer closet's a personal place. I stand here tonight, ultimately I owe everything to God. But I'm thankful that I had a praying mama that refused to let her son die and go to hell. I'm thankful for a praying mama. Can I say on any given Sunday, I guarantee you, I get at least 25 or 30 texts from preacher friends from across the country and said, "Brother Dallas, I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you today and the power of God will be upon your life as you preach the Word of God." Can I say I'm thankful for praying family. I'm thankful for praying friends. But it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. And God says, "But thou, when thou prayest," it's a personal place. And then he says, says, enter into thy closet. It's a peculiar place. And he said this, and when thou hast shut thy door, can I say this prayer closet, it's a peaceful place, amen. I'm thankful in this world that we live in, and I don't particularly watch the news, but when I go through the long corridors of airports, I can't help but hear the news and watch little snippets of the news, and boy, you hear about all the violence and all the wars and the rumors of wars all over the world, and I'm not trying to put my head in the sand, but I'm thankful that I can go to that peaceful place called a prayer closet. I can shut thy door behind me, and I can spend time with the God of all peace, amen. And not only is it a personal place and a peculiar place and a peaceful place, but look what he says, and thy father which see, or pray to thy father which is in secret. Can I say this place is a private place? And my dear friend, you understand Chris Dallas in the flesh. I can look across the crowd and there's a couple of you looking up here at me and say, man, that Chris Dallas fellow, he seems like a pretty good guy. I guarantee you, and the rest of you are not saying that with your countenance, but there's a couple of you that are saying that and say, man, he's a good guy. And I guarantee you he wants to live right. He wants to live clean. He wants to live holy. And you understand in the flesh, Chris Dallas can fake everybody in this room, but there's one that I will not be able to put a facade on with, and that's the God of all heaven that knows what I've thought about. He knows what I've looked at. He knows what I've listened to where I haven't confessed. My dear friend, it's a private place where the creation meets with their creator. But then the last point of verse number 6 will drive us to our next point in 1 Samuel. Look what he says. And thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can I say this prayer closet that Hannah entered, and this prayer closet that you and I have the freedom to enter if we're saved by the grace of God, can I say it's a profitable place, amen? Can I ask us tonight, how many of us are saved by the grace of God? You would definitely say that prayer closet was profitable the day you got saved by the grace of God, but I'm also thankful that that's not the only prayer request that God wants to answer in our lives, amen? He wants to answer the needs that come along this journey called life. Can I say, first of all, let's turn our Bibles back to 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel. We see the ridicule of Satan. We see the reason for sorrow. We see the request of the saint. Now look at verse number 19. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house of Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Can I say, number 4, we see the receiving of the son. Amen. We see the receiving of the son. Not only did Hannah make her request known from the Lord, but the Lord heard her request, and the Lord granted her request, and now we see the receiving of the son. Amen. I can't help but think of just how many prayer requests that God has answered in my life. I think about my own wife that I'll see tomorrow night. She's looking forward to being here at Maranatha tomorrow night in the services with me. Then we'll drive home tomorrow night. And I think about my own wife. And when I was a freshman in Bible college, the pastor there at Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi, now he's the son-in-law of Brother Westmoreland, Brother David Sexton. We both went to college together and graduated together. And as freshmen in Bible college, man, we had such a desire to have the power of God upon our lives and to be used of God to preach the Word of God. But we also knew that in order to do that, we would have to have a good godly wife that would be behind us and serve alongside us. And as a freshman in Bible college, every morning at 6:30, we would go to a little prayer closet up in the upstairs room at Bethel Baptist Church, and we would pray and we would beg and we would ask God to give us a good godly wife that we could serve God with our lives. I think about God answering that prayer. I think about all the needs that God has answered along this journey called life. I think about 3 weeks ago as I was at home and I was walking the property where we live there at the Circle C Baptist Ranch, and I was praying, and I had a family member that was heavy on my heart, and I knew that they had a financial need. And I knew that day as I was praying that God laid them on my heart, and the Spirit of God, not in an audible voice, but in that still, small voice of the Holy Ghost of God, God told me the exact amount to write out a check for them. I don't have time to tell the entire story, but can I tell you, it wasn't 3 days later that God gave every bit back to what He told me to write. I'm thankful, my dear friend. Yes, we'll go through sorrow, but I'm thankful we go to that peaceful place called a prayer closet and spend time with the God of all heaven. And I'm thankful, my dear friend, I can testify and you can testify that we've received some of those requests that we've made known to God. And then 1 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse number 26. Look what he says in verse number 26. The Bible says, and she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Not only do we see the ridicule of Satan, not only do we see the reason for Hannah's sorrow, we see the request of the saint. We see the receiving of the son. And then number 5, we see the rejoicing to the Savior. She's praising the Lord for answering her request. Nowhere in this scripture do I see that Hannah goes to talk to anybody else before she goes and prays the Lord. I said that illustration at the very beginning of this message because the first time I heard my preacher make that statement, "Lord, I come to you with a thank you note in hand," boy, I was so convicted because I am so guilty at times that God, I'm faithful to go to God for my request, and God has answered many of those requests. And I'm faithful to call my preacher and tell him, "Look what the Lord did for me." I'm faithful to call Brother Smart and tell him, "I just want to let you know God answered this prayer specifically." I'm faithful to tell everybody else, "Look what the Lord done for me." But how faithful have I ever been to go to God and say, "God, I just come to you with a thank you note in hand." We live in the most ungrateful nation that our country has ever seen. Kids today in America have far more than they ever have before. And yet we live in the most ungrateful nation. Can I say, my dear friend, I don't ever want to get to the place, and I want my prayer request to be to God every time I go to Him through the throne room of grace. It was today. I said, "Lord, I come to you just like preacher did with a thank you note in hand." And lastly, not only do we see the ridicule of Satan, we see the reason for sorrow, the request of the saint, the receiving of the son, the rejoicing to the Savior. But lastly, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Can I say lastly, we see the returning of Samuel. We see the returning of Samuel. How many times will we bend the knee to God and God say, "God, Lord, I ask you, Lord, they're talking about layoffs at work. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that I'm not one of those ones that get laid off. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me, I pray, Lord, that you allow me to keep my job. Lord, we've had a drought here in the last few months, and dear God, we need rain in order for those crops to be blessed. Lord, I pray, Lord, my car is on its last leg, but Lord, I pray that you would allow it to last a few more months till I can save up a little bit more money. And we pray those prayer requests, and God answers those prayer requests, but yet we have a welfare mentality that all we want to do is take from the Lord, and we're not willing to give back to the Lord. And my dear friend, I don't want to have a welfare mentality. I want to, as we talked about yesterday, I don't only want to receive the love of God, I want to return that love back to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. And Lord, just a thought tonight, Lord, just through the Bible devotion on Friday morning, dear God, Lord, I sure do thank you that you still speak to me as I read the word of God. Lord, we pray that we were a help tonight. Lord, I pray for the remainder of the service, and we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.